is a psalm that reminds us that God is our refuge and God is our fortress. And it is a very comforting psalm to all those of us who are facing trouble in life. And for those of us who are not exactly facing any trouble of sorts, we'll have comfort to know that God is always there to guide and to strengthen us. We are not sure who wrote the psalm, whether it was Moses or whether it was David. We do not know. But we do know that the psalmist who wrote the psalm cry out, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And straight away he gave this context of a person who loves the Lord, who draws close to the Lord, and who abides in the Lord and follow in God's will be blessed by God and will receive His guidance step by step. And the psalmist wrote, "He that dwelleth in the secret place." So when we read the word dwelleth, and what does it send the message to us? It is not merely running to a place. It is not merely going to the place when we are in trouble, but at other times we are out of that place. But he that dwelleth gives a sense that the person who loves God abides in God, is with God, dwelleth in God. And how do we treat our home, for example? Do we treat our home as like a hotel that we check in, check out as and when we like? But how do we treat God? Many a time, sadly, many of us treat God like a hotel, or sometimes like a hospital. It's only when we are in need then we go knock at the door and ask for entrance. But here the psalmist says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And how do we receive that grace of God? How do we receive and experience the closeness to the Lord? It's by dwelling in God, abiding in Him. And here I see the word "in the secret place of the Most High." What comes to mind when we read this word, secret place? Secret place is a place that we are running from something awful and try to hide. Many years ago, during the Holocaust, when the Nazis were tracing down the Jews and wanting to kill and exterminate the Jews, in a place in Netherlands, there was a Dutch family. And this Dutch family became well known later on because they tried to save as many Jews as possible from the onslaught and from that Holocaust initiative. And who is this person? Corrie ten Boom. I think that many of us might have heard of this name, or might have read the book The Hiding Place, or watch even a film that is shown out of the story and accounts written by Corrie ten Boom, The Hiding Place. When the Jews are running away from the Nazis, they come to Corrie ten Boom's home, and there will be a secret hiding place right at the top of the house, near Corrie's bedroom, and in a very, very secret place that the Nazis could not find. But here, the psalmist writes, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of whom?" Not merely only Corrie ten Boom, but the secret place of the Most High. And the secret place of the Most High, when we dwell in there, we shall certainly receive that blessing that is abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. There is peace. There is comfort. There is rest from turmoil. Many of us are bombarded with all kinds of turmoil. And even as we are seated here, probably your heart is troubled. And you know what the trouble might be. So the psalmist said, "Come, dwell in the secret place of the Most High." Then how shall we dwell in that secret place? Where is it? It is as simple as reading God's word and praying and coming to God's presence in communion with Him. And tonight, we are coming to the secret place of the Most High. We are coming as a church and asking God to help us in every aspect of our lives and in any difficulties that we might face. And as the Nazis are chasing after the Jews and they found resting place and hiding place in Corrie ten Boom's home, so we can certainly, definitely find our rest in God's secret place. And what about the other psalmists who wrote about this? And let us look at Psalm 27, verse 5. Psalm 27, verse 5. And I read here, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." You might ask, what is that one thing that you so desire from the Lord? And this is from the psalmist David. "One thing that I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." And how beautiful it is, David wrote this, because he knew how wonderful it is to be found in God's bosom, to be found so close to God, that though the enemies like Saul or Absalom or any other enemies that might find him, might kill him, might cause him harm, he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." Because repeatedly David would have found rest, "that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life," if it were possible, all the days of his life, "to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Psalm 31, verse 20, is another Psalm of David. Psalm 31, verse 20. "Thou shalt hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion, in a shelter from the strife of tongues." And here David experienced how he should put his trust in God when he is in trouble. And say, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man and from the plots, from the secret strategies and plots of man trying to harm David." Are we in harm's way? What about in our work, in our contact with people? And what if people talk bad about us, or jealous of us, or want to backstab us? We do not know where it comes from, but we do know, like the psalmist David, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the pride of man," from all those plots of man. "Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion, in a shelter from the strife of tongues." And men may use words to harm us. Men may use words to spread rumors or to have character assassination. But we can rest calmly, peacefully in God. Because even if we know, so what? Do we retaliate? So the best way for us to do is to just to rest and hide in the secret place of the Lord. Come before the Lord and tell it to God. And tell our Heavenly Father what is happening. Or even if we do not know what is going to happen to us with all the rumors or character assassination, we commit ourselves to God. If we are right with God, God will even make our ways, our enemies, right with us. It is totally in God's sovereign hand. And let us look at another Psalm, Psalm 32, verse 7. And again, it is a Psalm of David. Psalm 32, verse 7 reads, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Thou shalt surround me, compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. And David just paused there and meditates of how wonderful it is in the midst of running, in the midst of tiredness, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of heartache. And probably some of us may find that not only are we in trouble, our loved ones may be in trouble, our loved ones may be ill. Whether it's our children or our parents whom we love dearly. And here we can run to our Lord, as David did in verse 7, "Thou art my hiding place. Who else can I go? The doctors will have limitation. Our bosses will have limitation. But God is almighty, and God knows our path, and He knows what is best for us. So we want to hide in Him, so that we can receive His guidance step by step, and not to solve those problems on our own, because many a time those problems are beyond our own help. So here David says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble, and Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." It's wonderful that David had such great faith in God that he knew that God will compass him, surround him with songs of deliverance. And this surround sound of songs of deliverance is much, much, much better than any of the hi-fi that we can have at home or in any studio where we can feel the sense around. But this songs of deliverance will compass us, surround us. Why? Because victory is already won if we rest in God. And David knew more than many other people that to walk away from God's will is sure trouble. But if he were to go to God and hide himself in Him, he will have much guidance and much peace and deliverance. Psalm 17, verse 8, a similar theme. Psalm 17, verse 8, is again a psalm of David. "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." What is the apple of the eye? Any one of us blink, and we blink quite a lot of times, either to clear our eyes or protect our eyes from trouble. And if someone were to just flash something across our face, our eyes will immediately close. "And keep me as the apple of the eye, the pupil of the eye." That's how God treats us. And that's how David has experienced God's guidance, God's protection. And no enemies can come near to David without God's permission. No trouble can befall David But David can always come to God and say, God, I am in trouble. And keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. You can imagine that the shadow of God's wings. And this is just a way of telling us that if the eagles can guard its young and protect the young, our God is much, much stronger than any feathered creatures. And for us to be under the shadow of thy wings, of God's wings, we know that we are at peace. And we do not have to struggle and just commit it entirely to the Lord. There's also another portion of scripture that gives light to this. Isaiah 25 verse 4. Isaiah 25 verse 4. And this is a song of praise by the redeemed, by the people of God. And Isaiah 25 verse 4 reads, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." Despite the terrible blast as a storm against the wall, yet when we are hiding in God's secret place, when we are close to God, when we surrender our all, our troubles, our sufferings unto God. Here it is. He'll be a strength to the poor, strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. What a wonderful God we have. A God whom we can run to. But so many a time, we do not dwell in God. We just check in and out, like a hotel or like a hospital. And how sad that might be. And the blessings that God wants to give to us, we just do not experience it. And just now I shared with you about the story of Corrie ten Boom. And the songs that we have sung just now, one of them is 611. And I chose this particular hymn because William Cushing wrote this hymn, Under His Wings. And why did he write this hymn? He was a pastor, and when he was in his 40s, his wife passed away. And he stopped being a pastor, and he wrote hymns. And this is one of the hymns that is very close to his heart. Is under his wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. And how Ira Sankey wrote the melody of this hymn and sang it to the Christians. And how wonderful it is that this hymn has been kept in many traditional conservative hymn books. And William Cushing gone home to the Lord in 1902. That is almost a century ago, more than a century ago. And William Cushing had experienced how it was to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and in his wings, under his wings, under the wings of God. And then the other hymn that I chose was 130. And who wrote that? It was written by Elizabeth Clephane. Elizabeth Clephane came from a very godly family. Father was a pastor. Mom and dad were really close to the Lord. Elizabeth was weak in health. She has not been a very active, sporty person. But she she wrote a lot of hymns. And here she wrote, "Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day, under the shadow of the Almighty." Elizabeth Clephane has experienced time and time again of God's protection and strengthening and peace in her life, despite her weak health. And who are the other people that have experienced of the Lord's goodness? Of course, this particular psalmist. And here in verse 2, and I continue, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge." You see, the psalmist wrote here as, he didn't write it as, "He is the refuge." He personalized it. Just as Corrie ten Boom, just as William Cushing, Elizabeth Clephane, and likewise many of the psalmists of old, like Moses, David, and we ourselves could also do that. "I will say of the Lord, the covenantal God, the Jehovah God Almighty, He is my refuge." And that is so personal, and that gives comfort to know that He is not only a God who seems so far away and seems so busy that may not have time for me, but this psalmist wrote, "He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust." David has many a time experienced how God has been with him, from fighting of Goliath to running away from Saul and Absalom, as we have all been taught in the Sunday series. And this particular psalmist echoed all those experiences because it is so personal. And have we walked with the Lord? Have we dwelt in God's secret place, in close to the Lord, that we could experience the Lord's reality, guidance, peace in our hearts, in our lives? And we can also call our God my refuge, my fortress, and my God. In Him will I trust. It's a verse 3, "Surely He shall deliver thee from the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Many a thing that we cannot predict in advance what might come, whether it is the perilous and deadly pestilence, who knows? But surely He will deliver, He will lead and guide us. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust." And trust here is not only an intellectual trust, but completely given ourselves to God and knowing that He will keep His promise. "His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." And that shield that will ward off all the spears, all those darts from the evil one. "And thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." And in the night, we may go out and may be frightened because it's so hard to see where the attack might come from. "So thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, and for the arrow that flieth by day." In the daytime, we thought that we could see things around, but how fast the arrow might come, and from which direction, we may not even know, and it hit us. But here, the psalmist testify, "Thou shalt not be afraid of these." And in verse 6, "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. All these promises, we have to understand that we must walk in accordance with God's will. Because the devil used portion of the scripture to test our Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil used it out of context and not in God's will. And we could see that in Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, the famous account of the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ, verses 5 to 7, and how cunning the devil might be. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him. And what words did the devil say? If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And that we read it in verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 91. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So the evil one quoted from the Bible, quoted from Psalm 91, and tempted our Lord Jesus Christ. So what did the Lord Jesus answer? Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so it is very important as we read Psalm 91, and you can see that verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, and many of the other promises that God placed there. It's very important to know that a Christian should walk in God's will. If it is not in God's will, God will at times, just like in Job, permit us to go through a time of difficulty, to be tested, to be pruned, to be strengthened. And if we were to walk away from God's will, sometimes in the life of David, he will get the consequences of his sin, and God will punish, God will discipline. And that's why the psalmist wrote right in front, in verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, and so on, with the promises and the guidance in his life. So, many a time we want to receive God's blessings, but we don't want to walk in God's will and walk close to the Lord. And that is such a disconnect. And then when we fall into trouble, we plead and ask the Lord and say, God, didn't you say in Psalm 91? But did we dwell in God? Did we dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Or do we just, when we like it, we knock at the door and ask for favor? And yes, many a time we can come to the Lord, but it is only by God's grace and God's mercy that he receives us and care for us. So it is important tonight we remind ourselves that we should submit to the will of God. We should walk close to the Lord. We should dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We should commune with him. We should read his word, meditate, and ask God, God, lead me in thy will. And so all the other things that come to my life, I surrender it to God. And my ambitions, I surrender it to God. And God will do his own marvelous will, which is the best for us in our lives. So God is a refuge. God is a fortress. It is a psalm of assurance and a psalm that encourages us to draw close to the Lord again. Let us pray.